Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 31st day of March, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is fasten your seatbelt. To our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelites of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is muted upon calling in until you indicate you wish to ask a question, at which time then you would be unmuted. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces, just pastordan.net. Again, reminding you that at that website, there is a Daily Mail page where we put up some of the current events that are going on, and things are happening fast and furious. That's why we called it today, Fasten Your Seatbelts. A lot of things going on, folks. We put out some time ago an article written by the Orthodox Nationalist entitled Confronting the Heresy of Christian Pacifism. The date of that broadcast was the 10th of March this year, 2021, and it can be found at radioalbion.com, and Albion is A-L-B-I-O-N, radioalbion.com. And he goes into, this is Dr. Johnson, goes into some very positive identity statements at the 22-minute mark in that presentation. It's a very good presentation, completely shoots down the idea that we as believers in the Father above are to be pacifists, much as the modern day antichrists and church world want us to believe that that's what we should be. So obviously that's not true, but that's what they're trying to convince everybody that we are. If we follow Christ, then we have to be a pacifist, which is totally ridiculous. So, yours truly has been on a dead run today. So much stuff going on, so many things here locally for me, because I do have other duties besides the website and this radio program, not only for family, but also for neighbors and property management and different things like that. So, it just seems odd that today everything was coming together, and it's literally had me on a dead run. Praise Yahweh that he's allowed me to recover some of my vim and vigor and strength in overcoming some of the ailments I've been assailed with here of late. Nothing major, but some minor things that were causing difficulties. And our Father answers prayer. Now, even though we're saying fasten your seatbelt, that's not an all bad thing, okay? There's good things going on too, but you got to fasten your seatbelt because what we're going to witness and take part in is going to be mind-blowing, so to speak. In other words, it's going to rock your world. Even the good stuff is going to rock your world. It reminds me of when I went to stress management classes when I was employed by the power industry, and made a very big deal out of the fact that stress is caused by change, okay? And for instance, a baby being born is exactly the same amount of stress as a baby dying. Getting married is just as stressful as getting divorced, okay? It's the change that creates the stress, not whether it's looked at in a good way or a bad way. It's change. All right. So our world is changing. And if you haven't noticed that in the last 12 months, you're living under a rock somewhere. Okay. So the world is changing. Therefore, it is stressful. And that's part of what my problem has been for the past week. The ailments, and I had a session with my naturopathic doctor, one of the best in America, and we nailed it down to a lower intestine problem at the gut level, and a lot of it was due to stress. Because when your body is under stress, it puts a load on your organs, your systems, and your mind, folks. That's why Yahweh stressed when he walked this earth as Yeshua, he talked about your holy temple being your body. You should take care of your temple because the Holy Spirit dwells within. But the Holy Spirit has a hard time doing Yahweh's work if the body is in disrepair. Okay? It takes away from the energy. It takes away from your focus. So we're going into the fight of our lives as people on this world or on the earth. This is probably an epic biblical struggle that the world is in right now. The Luciferians, the Antichrists, are making their final move for enslavement of mankind. And in the process, they plan on destroying a lot of mankind. So the righteous have to make a stand now, not a year from now, not 2 years from now, now. You have to make up your mind whom ye shall serve. Even in the Arantia book, which has a lot of the sayings of Christ that are outside the Bible, he repeated Isaiah and other prophets when he said, choose this day whom ye shall serve. And Joshua, as a matter of fact. Which Yeshua, when he walked this earth, his name in the English was very close to Joshua. Because remember, the J has a Y sound in German and in ancient Hebrew. So Yeshua in modern times would be pronounced Joshua. So in the book of Joshua, he says, choose this day whom you serve. And Yeshua, when he walked the earth, said the same thing to the disciples and to the people he addressed. Choose this day whom ye shall serve. Okay? You don't get to sit on your ass and pretend like nothing's going wrong and that you can take as much time as you want. It's in our faces what they plan on doing, okay? They're not hiding it anymore. So, again, the message tonight is to fasten your training mentally and spiritually, prepare yourself for almost anything on either the good or the bad side, because there's going to be good things happening, and they're already happening. I can tell you, for one, I was under attack, if you want to call it that, by dark energy, bad thoughts, frustration, whatever, for almost a week. And I was praying intently for the Father to help me with some issues. I was starting to have some self-doubt because I was getting so much animosity thrown at me by brethren now, not by the Antichrist, but by brothers and sisters, over some of the teachings. And I have to admit, I had a very intense prayer time with Father, almost demanding that he give me a sign that I'm on the right track, because this is a very difficult job to do. When Yahweh gives you a vision based on his thoughts, his words, his desires for his children, when he gives you that vision and you're the only one carrying it around, I'm going to tell you, that's hard. And that doesn't make me better than anybody else. I'm not saying that. But I asked for this job when I was just a little boy. I asked the Father to make me an instrument of His kingdom, the coming forth of His kingdom. And I wanted His thoughts and His words to be mine. I wanted His, not my own. I didn't want to be like a regular guy. I wanted to be like Him. And I believe in my heart of hearts that Yahweh has answered those prayers. But the problem with that, which I didn't know as a boy, obviously, was that when you walk amongst men, you have this childish notion that man is desiring to know the will of the Father. But what you find out is painfully few men or women want the truth. Painfully few want to know what Yahweh's will is for them or for this world. Painfully few. Many people say they want it. Just like we've got a whole bunch of people out here calling themselves believers and Christians, and not too many of them walk the walk. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And the same thing goes for the vision. Remember in the scripture, it not only says, my people suffer from a lack of knowledge or truth, but there's also the Proverbs that say, my people suffer from a lack of vision. Vision. And that's been my biggest struggle, is our people have lost the vision of what His kingdom actually looks like and how it functions. And I'm not saying this because I think I'm better or smarter than anybody else. I'm just saying, take a look around, folks. Are you telling me what we're witnessing today is anything even remotely close to the desires of our Father? So something tells me we're not doing something right, especially in the mainstream church world. It's completely, they've gone way off the track. I saw recently where Billy Graham's son, Franklin, said that if vaccines were around in the days of Christ, he would have recommended taking them. That is black. But then again, Franklin, as well as his dad, Billy, are Jews. Okay? They carry Christ's DNA within them. So obviously, they're not going to tell the truth. I mean, that is pure blasphemy to say that the Christ, pure Christ, who would not have put a poison in his body, his holy temple, he would have recommended vaccines. Where does this moron, Franklin, think we came from for thousands of years prior to all this modern technology? Does he think for 1 minute we're not capable of surviving without these so-called miracle drugs and concoctions that the New World Order's put together? So one thing good about COVID is it's identifying the wheat and the tares. It's making the job very easy for us, is it not? I look at these people with diapers on their face and they're walking dead. Let the dead bury the dead. So again, for the past year, we've already had our paradigms shaken to the core of what we thought was normal. And now the assault on our value system, on our families, on our children is in full swing. Like never, ever before. So many patriotic circles are starting to repeat a lot of the things that we've talked about on this forum for years. These people are just now waking up to this, but we've been talking about it here and on other platforms very similar to this one. We've been talking about this stuff for a very long time. So Father has used some of His children as His elect. Remember, the elect are going to be the ones that he gave foreknowledge to, so that when we reach this point and people were searching for answers, we are the ones who have to provide those answers. Because while everybody else was out there partying their asses off, having a gay old time, his remnant people were diligently searching the scriptures, searching all other documentation available to us, and consulting one another, seeking out his wisdom for the latter days. And so we are blessed in that we have that knowledge now. And it's that knowledge that's going to keep the remnant safe from all the harm and pitfalls that's going to befall those who lack faith. Remember, that's what he said. Will I find faith upon the earth? And take a look around you. Not much. Not much. People want to believe criminals like Fauci, or people from the CDC, or the World Health Organization, WHO, or NIH, the National Institute of Health. Okay, all of these are criminal organizations. Criminal. Many of them are private. The CDC, for instance, holds patents on some of these vaccines. Now, how the hell is that not a conflict of interest? Same thing with Fauci. That guy's conflicted from top to bottom, besides the fact he's a DNA Antichrist Jew. Okay? He epitomizes the Antichrist as they walk amongst us. Look straight into the camera and lie his ass off. But remember, when Christ said that when they speak a lie, they speak their own language. So he doesn't even blush. He doesn't even show any signs of remorse, because lying is their language. Remember, they make war by deception. They get us to do bad things and harm ourselves by what? Deception, lies, distortions. So they're very adept at looking sincere in front of a camera, knowing full well that they're lying their asses off. It doesn't bother them. They don't have a conscience. They don't have any morality. So just be aware of who you're dealing with. As Sun Tzu says in The Art of War, you must know who your enemy is. You must know yourself. That's a given, okay? Who in the hell would want to go into a war not knowing themselves? So it's a given you should know yourself. But you should also know your enemy and how they operate. And according to Sun Tzu, if you know both yourself and your enemy, you're almost guaranteed success. So there is another formula for success that follows the biblical timeline for the end of the age, that we will be victorious over these sons of bitches, these Luciferian antichrists. We will prevail. But it doesn't mean that we won't suffer. It doesn't mean that it won't affect us. It just means that we can overcome it. And that's why I say, fasten your going to become quite exhilarating from here on out. Both good and bad. Now, we've been watching the bad. I mean, I can't tell you how many phone calls I field on a daily basis of brothers and sisters who are pretty much rocked. Their worlds are rocked by the criminality that's going on right now. It's, I mean, the Luciferian crap, it's almost unbelievable. Now, for us, for those of us who have been following these cretins, it doesn't surprise us too much, but I mean, even I am shocked that they're so forward and bold. But then again, the Father said that their vanity, their chutzpah is their own word for it, would be part of their undoing, because they think they're so powerful and we are so weak that there's nothing we can do to stop them. Well, we as individuals have to make up our minds that we will do whatever we have within our power to bring this cabal, this Luciferian system, to its knees. It's worth it, folks. Take a look around at your families, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your relatives. Are they not worth the fight? Brothers and sisters in the faith, are they not worth the fight? Of course they are. Besides that, Scripture tells us, and so did some of our ancestors like General Stonewall Jackson and Douglas MacArthur and General George S. Patton and many others, George Washington, Robert E. Lee, many of them, said that the duty that we have is to do the right thing. That's our duty, all right? That's a must. That is a commandment. Do the right thing, irregardless of the consequences. Okay? Consequences should not enter your mind ever. The only thing that should drive you day to day is a desire to do what is right. Isn't that what the Word says? Isn't that what Messiah did when he walked amongst us as an example? He was driven to do what was right. So that's really how simple it is. Determine what is right and what is wrong, and determine that you will do the right thing. Whether it's in regard to your family, your job, your dealings with neighbors, even yourself. Okay? Do what is right. Now, what we're witnessing today, and I've been following Juan O'Savin here lately, mostly because he's taken a slightly different direction in some of his interviews here lately. He has almost been sounding like an identity preacher, if you can imagine that. Now, not in all regards, obviously, but much more explicit about our enemies and what we're up against than has been done in the past. It's pretty amazing, actually. I listened to him talking with Field McConnell, who's back with us now. He sort of disappeared here for a while, but he's back in the trenches. So hallelujah for that. And again, none of these people are going to be in agreement with us 100%. All right? Even amongst our own brethren here on the channel, we don't agree about everything. Okay? Let's get over the idea that we're going to agree about everything. We don't. We probably never will. Even when Messiah gets here, the Scripture says, and when he was here 2,000 years ago, did the disciples argue amongst themselves? Sure did. They had the Creator walking amongst them, and they still bitched and fought with each other. Isn't that something? Think about that for just a minute. The anointed of Yahweh walked amongst these 12 guys for 3.5 years. And they didn't have any of the distractions that we have today. They didn't have any computers and internet and Netflix and YouTube and magazines and bookshelves. And they didn't have any of that. So they spent most of their time conversing with one another and listening to the Messiah. So even with all that FaceTime with the King of Kings, they still argued. They still bicker. And a few times they even put knives in each other's backs. So let's not get discouraged when we find we're at odds with each other as brethren. I believe that's why the Father made it very clear through some of the teachings on how we are to maintain our fellowship as brothers and sisters, because he knew we were going to get, we're going to come up against bumps in the road, okay? And a lot of the teachings were to teach us how to overcome those bumps. When we put them into practice, okay, it's one thing to know about turning the other cheek, forgiving 70 times 7, go to the brother that you have an issue with, and if that doesn't succeed, then take a couple elders with you and confront them again. Always with the intention of solving the problem peacefully amongst the brethren and not airing your dirty laundry. And when we practice that, it works a lot of times. At least it has for me in my walk amongst my brethren. Because I've always remembered to walk in your brother's shoes. Okay, what's that mean? Put yourself in his place. Okay, instead of just jumping right out there and biting his head off and bitching and telling him what a scumbag is, for just a minute, why don't you step back and put yourself in his shoes? See what he or she has been up against, okay? We were warned many times to watch that tongue. As it says in the scriptures, words are like arrows coming out of that mouth. Just like the arrow when it leaves that bow, you can't bring it back. Once you decide to let go of that line, that arrow is gone. And when it hits with that sharp point, it's going to make an impact. And your words that leave your mouth do exactly the same thing. That's why it's always benefited me in my life when I've practiced what I call engaging your filter between your brain and your jaw. So that you think, you put that little time delay in there, when that thought comes into your head, you put it through that filter before you open your mouth. As one guy said, that's why Yahweh made us with two ears and only one mouth. You should do a lot more listening and a lot less talking. Our people have a lot to learn. But the remnant's job is to teach by example. You lead by example. So put it into practice in your own life first. In other words, get that plank out of your own eye before you worry about that little speck in your brother's eye, because you got a great big old 2x12 across your face, and you're worried about that little 2x4 in his. So there's a lot of sound teaching here in Scripture to help us get through these periods, and we're going to have to lean on each other, folks. Just as I said a while back, you know, I'm fielding a lot of calls as things are intensifying, but that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Exactly what we're supposed to do. I had one of our ladies contact me and get my advice on forming a group of ladies, basically a woman's point of view group amongst the sisters now, not outsiders, amongst the sisters. For the ladies that know this message and who understand the things that we teach here on this platform, so that they could communicate with one another and talk about what's going on in their lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, but also the things that make sense. And where do we as a family want to go from here? What kind of world do we want to create? Do we want a world built on Yahweh's principles? Or do we want to stay with this cesspool that we find ourselves floating in right now? Choice is ours, right? Look in the mirror. It starts right there. So we're in the middle of a communist takeover. There is no doubt whatsoever that's what we're witnessing right now. This is a Zionist communist takeover. Somebody put out the writings of what the hell's his name? Bill Ayers, a devout Jewish communist, and also the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, another Zionist Jew. And everything in their writings is in your face right now. One of the last things they have to accomplish before a total takedown of this country is disarming us. They have to disarm us, just like they did the Russians and every other poor soul on this miserable earth before the communists butchered wholesale, just like Pol Pot in Cambodia, just like North Korea, just like Vietnam, just like China, just like Russia. On and on and on. They go in, they disarm you mentally, then they disarm you physically by taking your weapons, and then it's mass murder to get rid of anybody they think stands in their way. It's happened time after time after time, folks. This isn't a big mystery. And that's why the big push right now to disarm you, because as the one meme that's going around says, the only justification for disarming you is because they're about to do something that a reasonable man would shoot them for doing it. Just let that sink in, okay? They're about to do something that would cause a rational man to shoot back in self-defense. And therefore, they want to take your weapons. So this is the time to rise up. It starts with the people you see in the mirror and in your own family and neighborhood. You got to get wise as to what's going on, and you have to mentally prepare yourself for what may come about. Okay? Now, like I said, Yahweh's spirit is being poured out on the earth. And he's answered some big prayers I've had here lately in a very positive way. I'm very happy and excited about the answers that I've gotten here recently. So I have been on the right track. Even though I get a lot of resistance on some of the things I teach, but Yahweh has seen fit to send me witnesses and encouragements that reinforce the fact that these are his ways, and his ways are above man's ways. So, as far as the Ark, we're still pursuing that, though I did talk to a lady that was recommended to me by another friend of mine, and she just happens to be a political activist, and she happens to be one of the advisors of Donald Trump and his team. She recently moved out of Washington, D.C. to Virginia, and she was trying to do something very similar to what we call the ARC Project here. She bought a working farm in Virginia. And her goal was to do very close to what we want to do. She wanted to get back to basics. She wanted to teach others proper farming and ranching. Okay? And what happened was that the state of Virginia waited until she signed the paperwork to buy this farm, and the very next day issued her a cease and desist order that she was not allowed to do and sell the products, etc., off her farm. So the very reason she got this land, which was all very much with good intentions, Within 24 hours of her signing the paperwork, the ink wasn't even dry on the paperwork, and the bureaucrats, the communists from that state, look at that communist Jew that runs Virginia, that sits atop. He should be arrested and charged with treason. Northam. Okay, so the bureaucrats, the communist commissars, which is what they are, these bureaucrats, most of them are traitors as well, gave her a cease and desist order. So she is in a huge battle. I talked to her on the phone for probably about 15, 20 minutes, and she gave me a little bit of a rundown of what's happening, and she's in a legal battle. She's down in Georgia right now, but she has a legal team, I guess, going after the state, and Donald Trump is financing it. So I know what most people think about Donald, and I agree for the most part. But every now and then, it does seem like he's doing something on the right side. So I wish we could get to the bottom of the whole thing and everybody would stop playing games. It's time to put the games away. It's time to be 100% transparent and honest about your intentions and what we're doing. This hiding behind euphemisms and deceptions and everything else because supposedly we have to hide what we're doing. Well, if you're a military commander, you got to hide what you're doing. But if you're a public figure, I don't see it. I don't see it. You should be out front about what you believe in and what your goals are. So that's different. If I got a 1,500 or 2,000 man unit and we've got a mission to accomplish, of course you don't talk about the mission ever to anybody. You don't put those men's lives at risk. But as far as a public figure, that's different. But anyway, she's in this battle, and she said that she would keep me posted. She may even come on as a guest in the near future. The other thing she's trying to do is organize patriots across America to stop this socialist, Zionist, communist takeover of the country. So a lot of interesting things going on. But the reason I brought her up is because we have, in discussions, some of the elders, we've talked about the fact of why has it been so hard for us to get together and get a piece of land and do what we want to do, which is build a community of like-minded brothers and sisters that we can live like the Amish on this land and say to hell with Babylon. Well, this lady tried to do it, and she got a cease and desist order immediately. Now, she may not have set things up properly. I don't know. I don't have the details. Okay? You should get your land in a loidal title to where the government has no say. Maybe she did not do that. I don't know. The point of it is, if you don't do it the right way, this is the kind of resistance that you're going to face. So as we go forward, we have to be very, very careful about vetting who's involved with it, and we have to be very careful about how we set the thing up, that we do it Father's way, and we keep the corporations, which includes the U.S. government and many state government officials, keeps them out of the picture, okay? But really, the bottom line is everybody involved with it has to be like the founding fathers, that we're willing to fight. Okay? Really, that's the most important thing, not the legalities. Because King George didn't give a shit about the colonists and their paper. The only thing that stopped the British was Americans with muskets and knives and hatchets fighting back. And yes, taking lives. It's unfortunate in this day and age that the so-called leaders are often sitting back in their ivory towers while the you and I guys, we're out there on the battlefields bleeding. while they sit back in their comfy offices. You see, in the days when men were men, a commander was out in front of his troops, like Alexander the Great, King David, all right, Jonathan, Joshua, Abraham. They didn't tell, oh, you go over there and kill a bunch of those people and do it in the name of the king. I'm going to sit back here and watch. They took up their shields and their spears and their swords, and they went out with their men into battle. If it's a fight worth fighting, then the leader should be out in front of the soldiers, not behind them. They should be leading the charge. They should be out in front like General George S. Patton and Douglas MacArthur were known to do many times. Many times they were at the very front of the lines seeking information and laying their eyes on the situation and not just going by reports. They were out there where the men were actually fighting and dying. That's the sign of a real man and a real leader. You get out there in front. Get out there in front. So we need leaders amongst our people. And you do that by leading by example, and you get out in front. You don't send others to do your dirty work for you. That's how we got in this trouble. The Jews have convinced us to be like Jews. We pay cops to take care of bad people in our neighborhoods and everything else, when it used to be posses would take care of it, local militia and posses. The men of the community take care of it. But now, oh, we don't want to get our hands dirty, and so now we sick these bureaucrats with badges and guns on people, just like now, oh, my neighbor didn't have a face diaper on, so go over and harass her. Because they don't have enough guts to do it themselves. I talked to one of our listeners today. I won't put out a name here, but in the discussion with her, she was wondering if we would touch on some of the historical things. We have talked about this in the past, but we could reiterate it here a little bit. As far as like the Kingdom of Tartaria, and they try to tell us it was aliens or fallen angels. Did you notice the flag of Tartaria, the lands of Tartaria and their architecture, etc., etc.? It's all over the earth, okay? The flag of Tartaria, by the way, is almost identical to the modern Welsh flag. Do you think that's just a coincidence? Remember, the Welsh go back to ancient Hebrew. The Welsh people have kept the ancient tongue alive, and there's a resurgence in pride in Wales to learn the Welsh tongue. That's why every program I say Shumai, which is a Welsh term for greeting, and Cymru am byth is Welsh for Wales forever. Now, in their language, Wales is Cymru, which was the name of an Israelite king. Okay, so Cymru and Cymraeg, which is their language, is named after an Israelite king. And E. Raymond Capt, the biblical archaeologist, in his book, The Missing Links in the Assyrian Tablets, which I read many years ago, he talks about the fact that the most pure modern language that is the closest to the spoken language of our ancestors 6,000 years ago, ancient Hebrew, the closest you're going to get to it is listening to a Welshman speak in his native tongue. So, when you're talking about Tartaria and trying to say it's space aliens or fallen angels, you got to remember, Israelites at different periods of time were much bigger, almost like giants compared to other peoples. just like amongst the white race now, you can find white men that are, you know, 6.5, almost 7 feet tall, and you got other white guys that are only 4'2". Okay, so just because a group of people is of a different stature doesn't mean they came from a different world, or that they were mixed with angels or fallen angels. There are differences amongst even our own people. Tartaria, it's very interesting. Now, I've not done a very detailed study of Tartaria, but I've looked into it enough to know that there are a lot of similarities to their way of life, what they operated by, and again, like I said, their national flag is almost identical to the flag of Wales. So you look at all these little points that tie it together, and it looks to me like they were Israelites, the same basic Hebrew people. We could also talk about the fact that in China and all over North America, South America, and everything else, we have relics of Israelites going back. We found pyramids all over the earth that are nearly identical in structure. That can only happen by a common people that built them, and it's our people. Much like in Georgia, they found pyramids in Georgia built exactly as the Mayans built them in their day down in Central America. Okay? But when the Mayans picked up and left in a hurry, then the Indians from the jungles came in, and everybody thinks that they're the ones that built it. Just like now, they think the Arabs built the great pyramids of Egypt. That's ludicrous. That's stupid. No, they didn't. They came in after the whites left. Because the pharaohs in the early kingdoms, the early dynasties of Egypt, they were white. It's obvious they were white. Cleopatra herself had auburn hair and blue eyes, if I remember right. She could speak 7 languages. She was gifted in mathematics. Do you think anything off the African continent today could do that? I mean, come on, folks. You got to shed this modern make-believe history that they've crammed down our throats, and you got to put your thinking caps on. In the Tarim Basin of China, they've uncovered mummies that are like 4,500 years old in China, and it's obvious that they're Caucasoids, meaning white people. Okay, Caucasoids, Caucasians. And where did we get the name Caucasians, by the way? It's when the Israelites escaped the Assyrian captivity and they fled through the mountains and they went through what's even known today as the Pass of Israel in the Caucasus Mountains. And that's where we had the name change. We went from calling ourselves Israelites to basically those that came across the Caucasus or Caucasians. So we were the branch of Israelites who fled and formed the European nations. Okay? Tartaria had free electricity evidence on their buildings. Thank you, Angel. She sent that in. So very advanced civilization, the Tartarians. So what we're going to find out, and part of why I said fasten your seatbelt, is I believe, and some of these people are alluding to this now, I believe Father is going to do exactly what he said when he said, everything that's been hidden will be made known. Okay? Now, stop for a minute and think about how many topics that we talk about that we've been lied to about, okay? Shape of the earth, marriage, family, how it's to be set up, how the villages and our communities are to be set up, how to raise animals, how to raise crops, how to stay pure, how to keep the body healthy without pharmaceuticals, how to be good to each other and keep our fellowship. And on it goes. How to deal with strangers who come through our lands, etc. and when we go through strangers' lands, how to conduct our warfare, how to conduct military life. Okay? He gave us rules for all of that. All of that. And we have to get back to it. We must get back to it. But they lied to us about almost every subject you can possibly think of, and we're going to be given the truth in the near future. And that, my friends, is going to blow your minds. Even some of you folks that listen to this channel. And yep, I know, I'm a weirdo, I'm different, but compared to what you're going to learn here in the near future, even I am pretty tame. You're going to hear and see and witness some mind-numbing stuff, folks. You really are. And it's probably by design, because we deserve it. We deserve to be bitch-slapped for our acquiescence, our ignorance, our apathy, our lack of concern and empathy for our fellow man, and even our own kin and our children, okay? We have. We've become twice the children of hell as the Jew by becoming their proselytes, which is what we have for the most part. Most white nations have proselytized themselves into behaving more like Jews than Caucasians who follow the Aryan Christ. He was an Aryan. Now, here's the thing. I sent that to some people and they got all offended what do you mean? Christ is an Aryan. Now, the Jews can brag about Christ being a wayward Jew and nobody takes offense to that. Isn't that amazing? But if a white man says, no, wait a minute, Messiah had blonde hair and blue eyes. He was obviously a Caucasian, not a Jew. Jews are not white. That's another misconception today. Jews are not Caucasians. They are not. So the Jews can claim all kinds of nonsensical bullshit, and everybody just accepts it. But if a white guy stands up and goes, well, wait a minute, Christ was not a Jew. He was a white man. How can you say such a thing? Are you a white supremacist, Dan? Are you sitting there, you really want me to believe that the Jewish carpenter was an Aryan? Yeah. He was an Aryan. Joseph of Arimathea took him on his ships and sailing around to all his tin mines, including those in the Misty Isles, known today as England, the United Kingdom. Yeah, Christ was not a pauper, folks. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy, wealthy man. And Christ traveled all over, as witnessed by E. Raymond Capt in his books about Glastonbury, England. So, again, if you read, which I've been doing for decades now, all these extra-biblical books and the works of, like, Stephen Collins and E. Raymond Capt, you would have an education far and above what you're getting from the mainstream churches or mainstream education centers, okay? You need to wake up, folks. You need to wake up. You've been lied to and deceived by so many things. And again, I'm not here to try to tell you I have all the answers. I don't. But I do have some. I do have some. And I can guarantee you I work very hard to be as accurate as I can be and as in line with the Father as I can be. That I can guarantee you. And I can guarantee you another thing. What we're doing today ain't working. What we're doing today isn't even close to what the Father wants. Because if we did things His way, there would be peace and prosperity all over this world. This world would not have stinking, polluted water, soil with no minerals left in it, food that's barely fit to eat, in some cases not even fit to eat. Okay? Sickness and illness everywhere. Disrespect everywhere. Okay? I just got a note from one of my friends here. The Belgian state has ordered to lift all coronavirus measures within 30 days. A court rule. So the country of Belgium. Oh, okay. This came out of a Brussels court on Wednesday. I guess that was today. So that was hot off the press. Okay, so the uprising against this COVID insanity, it continues. There's going to be a mask, and I said mask, M-A-S-K, mask burning gathering in the country here. I think it's on April 10th. There's also some conferences where some of the top people in the country, as far as patriots and truth tellers, are going to be having some big, big expos in the month of April. So there's a lot going on. And plus, I was told, and I've heard it on a couple channels, that there's going to be another dump of information very similar to the WikiLeaks. And you remember how powerful that was. Well, this dump is going to be much, much more revealing. And it's going to expose some very, very nasty stuff. So again, fasten your seatbelt. That's why we picked the title. Okay? Be prepared mentally and physically for just about anything as we go forward here. Because if you've lived in a bubble and you haven't been paying attention to what's going on, this stuff is going to be scary. It really is. For guys like us here and for me, it would take a lot to scare me or even cause me too much concern, because I've watched this nonsense go on since I was in the Air Force during Vietnam. That was a long time ago. But I saw the crazy and stupid things we did there, and then I watched the stupid and crazy things they did while we were building nuclear power plants. And constantly the news media was lying to the public about what we were doing with nuclear power. To where we used to give tours to let adults come through the plants where I worked, and I volunteered as one of the guides, because the fear, just like today, the fear of the people in the community was unbelievable. I talked to these people and they, well, we're going to get uranium contamination and stuff in our water, and it's going, you know, the radiation's going to come over here, and my wife is going to have a child with two heads. And I mean, it just, and I just laughed. I said, no, wait a minute. First of all, I work in this plant every day. So I'm as close to the source of radiation as you can get. And I'm about as healthy as you could get. So what does that tell you? All right. Now, if I was to take your wife and sit her down by the reactor, yeah, she'd probably get enough radiation that it would make her very sick and possibly even do damage to the child. That's possible. But that's if you're sitting in the reactor building down by the reactor, which you're not allowed to do. That's why they have a thing called a containment building. You know that big concrete building you see that's circular? Yeah, that's where the reactor is. And the reactor is inside a solid metal cube. Well, it's not really a cube shape. It's kind of like an air cylinder, like a scuba diver has on his back, only this thing obviously is much bigger. And inside that is where the reactor is for your safety. And outside the metal cylinder where all that equipment is a concrete containment building in case the metal one doesn't hold. So you got a double layer of protection if there's ever an accident, but you also have two layers to knock down any radiation coming from the uranium in the reactor. Okay? And you have it surrounded by water, which is a better blocker than even metal and concrete. Water is a tremendous barrier to radiation. Tremendous. A few feet of water, and I have personally done this experiment, folks, because we were cutting up in-core detectors one day in the auxiliary building, and these are the detectors that are up inside the reactor measuring radiation levels while the reactor's running. So these things get really contaminated and radioactive. So while you're cutting them up underwater, you, meaning me and the other technicians, we're up above the water on the sides running the equipment that's down below under 20 feet of water so that it's safe for us. But on our own, me and a couple of the guys took one of those detectors and we started reeling it up towards the surface of the water. Yeah, we weren't supposed to do that, but we did it. And we had a teledetector, we call it, it's a radiation monitoring device with a long telescoping wand on it, and we called it a teledetector. And we put the probe way out over the water, way far away from us, I'd say a good 15 feet maybe, and we held it above the water to make sure we didn't cause any problems and set off any alarms. But we cranked that probe up to the surface, and I'd say maybe 2 feet from the surface, the meter on the teledetector started going crazy. And then shortly after that, the alarms went off on the teledetector. So what did that experiment tell us? Well, that, like I said, as little as a foot and a half to 2 feet of water was able to knock down that high level of radiation to where it was safe for us to walk around and work in the building. And yet we had the radioactive material sitting down below 20 feet of water, 10 times that amount is what we worked. So the amount of radiation we were getting was almost nothing. But the media and the ignorance of the public would have you think that, and I had two flight attendants actually ask me this on different airlines. When I said something about working in nuclear power, they asked me, when the lights go out, are you going to glow? Are you going to glow blue like radioactive material looks like it's glowing blue at the bottom of pools of water? Am I going to glow? No, I said, ma'am, that's just a rumor. That's a myth. That doesn't happen. But the point is the same. I'm trying to make the point that the media and fear can take us in directions that is so far from reality, folks. It really is. It's just like the Vietnam War, the things I heard in my family talk about and my friends and what was in the papers versus what I saw on the Air Force bases I was on. Night and day different. The thing, and I worked in 14 different nuclear power plants in my career, 14 of them. I helped either build them or run them. So I think I know a little bit about boiling water reactors and pressurized water reactors, at least the American version. I never got to work in a Canadian one because the Canadian ones can refuel while they're still at power. The American versions cannot. So I always wanted to work in a Canadian one just to see how they did it. I thought it would be pretty fascinating. But that never happened, and I'm retired from that industry now, and thank goodness, because Corporate America has been in the practice of getting rid of the better engineers, the better technicians, the better secretaries, the better work planners, and replacing them with affirmative action candidates and graduates from modern-day universities, which are basically educated idiots. Okay? That's my opinion. That's my opinion. So I got tired of being smarter than the people that I had to work for and knowing just how stupid they were. And they really were stupid. And they were going to get people hurt because of their ignorance. And yet, they were in charge because of the system we've created in this country. It's not what you know, it's who you know. What are your, quote, credentials? Now, Jews like that because Jews can manufacture credentials. They know how to do it. They can build a resume. Look what they did for Barack Obama, the nitwit. Look what they did for both the Bushes, criminals and a nitwit. The Clintons, criminals and nitwits. Okay? So they know how to build somebody up with all kinds of letters after their name, and supposedly they did this and this, so it looks good, but they really are nitwits. Okay? Well, corporate America has done exactly the same thing. I can't tell you in my career how many times I had to deal with an engineering boss or a project manager that was dumber than a box of rocks. And yet you're trying to get their permission to go do what you knew was the right thing to do. And 9 times out of 10, they'd tell you, no, we're going to do it a different way because the nitwit above them didn't like the way we were going to do it. That is frustrating, folks. And that's what's happening in corporate America. That's why America is going down the tubes and can't compete with a lot of these other countries. And don't give me this bullshit that, well, the Chinese are really smart people, Diane, and the Japanese too, and, you know, them Jews, they're pretty smart creatures too, Diane. I think the Watt man just is, you know, he's kind of falling down because these guys are just so damn smart. Well, then how come it is all the great empires, all the great civilizations that I've studied were all started by Caucasians? How come that is? How come when the white man showed up in his ships and his modern armor and weaponry and all, the Japanese were still fighting with swords, okay? The Chinese can't even feed themselves without modern Western technology being stolen and given to them. And yet they're smarter than we are? I always say, well, the Asians have a higher IQ. Well, high IQ doesn't mean you're creative, first of all, and any test can be rigged. So don't give me that bullshit. I study history. History will either prove it right or prove it wrong. And telling me these other races have it up on the white man, sorry, but history doesn't say so. Neither does modern life, by the way. Now, I will give them credit for sticking up for their own people better than we do. The Japanese, the Chinese, etc. They do look after their own much better than we do. I will give them credit for that. White people are the worst race on earth for taking care of their own people. We'll be some of the first people to throw our own people under the bus while we're kissing the ass on all the minorities around us. Yeah, that is a faux pas, so to speak, or a negative about the white race. But as far as creativity and ingenuity, etc., we excel. Because why? Go back and read the book of Genesis. Yahweh breathed his spirit into Adam, the man who shows blood in the face or blushes, the white man. In the Greek language, it was anthropos. Anthro, meaning male. Pos, meaning like light-bearing or glowing, rosy. The males that have the light of Yah in their faces. Yeah, anthropos. Very close to the same meaning for Adam in the Hebrew. Okay? So the evidence is everywhere. And if you ever want to go, just do a search on Tartaria, T-A-R-T-A-R-I-A, Tartaria. And you can also do a search for ancient mummies. It's coming up everywhere, folks. All the pyramids, all the evidence that they have lied to us, as usual, about our history, where we came from, where we're going. But you got to remember, this is a communist takeover of the world. And one of the planks of their tactics in a takeover is to separate a people from their culture and their heritage. And they've done it very well. Angel says, huge buildings like cathedrals built before Ottoman. I couldn't read that all. Hold on a minute. That looked pretty interesting because I know Angel studies that stuff quite a bit. Here we go. What's that say? Huge buildings like cathedrals were built before automobiles invented. How did they do it? Yeah, that is a good question. You look at some of these ancient buildings. How would they do that even today? Let alone back when they were riding horse and buggies and, you know, there was no modern machinery, none of that stuff. Think about that, folks. How did these great buildings get built? By people that lived in huts, used, primitive type tools? How did they do that? What technology did they have that we're not aware of? You have to ask that. Or at least a thinking man was, right? Okay. That's pretty much everything I've got on my list here, by the way. So let me just check in and see if we've got anybody in the queue. If anybody has anything to bring up that they want to either talk about or they've got a report about something going on that the rest of us need to know, now's a good time to do it. Yeah, now would be a good time. So I'll give a minute there. If anybody wants to call in and share, again, please do. This is not my platform just to rant and rave. Checking some of the notes and stuff out here. Oh, let's see what we got here. Okay, we don't have anything there. Okay. And I'll look at the chat here just a second. Yeah, Ralph says, we cannot build the pyramids today. They were incredibly square. A bunch of engineers tried to duplicate the pyramids with modern machinery on a much smaller scale than the Great Pyramids. And by the way, the three pyramids at Giza, that's not all. There are mammoth pyramids all over the earth. It's not just those three in Giza, okay? These things are amazing works of art, and we can't duplicate it today. Now, think about that hard, okay? With all that we have today, including computers, we cannot duplicate the pyramids on a smaller scale, okay? Much smaller than the Great Pyramids. So, how did they do it? Okay, they have lied. They have hidden so much from us. It's unbelievable. Who brought the? Oh, Ralph from Canada here talks about the Kennewick Man. That's another great story from a couple years ago up in Kennewick, Michigan, along the Kennewick River. They found a mummy, a man that had been preserved. He fell into a bog or something like that near the Kennewick River. And they dated it. Now, that I'm somewhat skeptical about how accurate their dating stuff is, but according to the dating stuff, this mummy was at least 7,000 years old, at least 7, maybe 8. And they found him in North America, and they took and somehow they were able to do a computer enhancement of the features of this mummy, which was very well-preserved and generate what they thought the person looked like, and amazingly, it looked like, oh, what was his name? Picard on Star Trek, the later Star Trek, not the one with William Shatner as Captain Kirk, but Captain Picard of the USS Enterprise. Okay? He looked a lot like him. So, obviously, a Caucasoid. Here in North America, almost 8,000 years ago, and the fabric that he was wearing, much like the fabric of the mummies in China and other mummies that have been found around the world, thousands and thousands of years old, their fabric was so tightly woven that modern-day machines would be difficult for them to weave a fabric that tight. Think about that now, folks. Now, for the ladies out there that do sewing, that's going to mean more to you than it will to some of us guys. But with the modern-day internet and the ability to go in there, go to a website like how's that done, or what does this mean, or even just a start page or a DuckDuckGo. Do a search on how fabric is made and the weaving process. These people walked the earth between 4 and 6, 7,000 years ago, and they had clothing that matches ours today as far as how tight a weave in the fabric. They want us to believe in the Jew Hollywood movies and all. We walked around drinking from skulls and behaving like primitives. That's all bullshit. I'm here to tell you it's bullshit. If they can build buildings and they have fabric that's every bit as good as the fabrics we're producing today, and in some ways even better, then where did we lose? Where did this knowledge go? Because we're not even up to their standards as far as those things go. Okay? Think about that stuff, folks. And again, a lot of this stuff is going to be revealed here real soon. Let's see, any more comments? The U.S. military has abandoned us, according to the website stateofthenation.com. Yes, that's right, I did. Thank you, Ralph. I did a story or a show with Patricia Aiken from Nevada. And we did a show on Tartaria. It was all on Tartaria. So if you want to go back to, I think it's 2018, the archives there, you should be able to find it. Just look for me with Patricia, introducing Patricia Aiken. And, oh, Ralph put it up here. Oh, it's 2019. I'm sorry. 2019, January 2nd. On the archives. And if you're in the chat room here tonight, he's got a link up to the show, the MP3 copy of that show, or you can go to the website to that 2019 archive in January and listen to it there. But we went into a lot of detail about Tartaria. Just amazing stuff. In fact, Patricia, that's her if you want to call it her cause celeb, is Tartaria. Because it exposes so much of the lies and deception about our people, and the fact that we have accomplished many things all over this earth, okay? And it's time for us to rise up, as the scripture says. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested, okay? The whole world is in travail. Do you know what travail means? It's pain and agony, much like a woman about ready to give birth to a child. Pain and agony waiting for you and me, folks, the sons of Yahweh. Stop playing games. Stop sticking knives in each other's back. And let's get ready to do a job. That's what Father looks like. Oh, Angel says you can also look for the mud floods. They talk about this stuff as well. a lot of interesting stuff out there. The main thing is, you know, Scripture tells us to keep an open mind. It doesn't say it in those words. It says, accept all things and keep that which is good or which is verifiable. All right? Accept all things and keep that which is good. It means keep an open mind. Because I'm going to tell you something. None of us here have witnessed everything there is to witness. None of us. Okay? There's all kinds of things going on out there. People seeing things, having out-of-body experiences or journeys to the other side. Just because you haven't done it doesn't mean somebody else hasn't. We know that we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. That's a fact. That's all over Scripture, and it's just plain old common sense. We came here, we were from above, and we return to where we came from when we leave here. That's what you need to know. And exactly what happens to those who disobey and don't meet the criteria, well, that's up to the Father. It's not up to you and me. So that's not even a question for debate. Okay? It's meaningless. Because none of us have the answer. Unless you've been to the other side and been have judgment passed on you, you don't know. You're guessing. Or you, some people say, well, I've got the King James Version, Dan, and I have the Word of God in front of me. Well, I got news for you. Our Father's talked to you through lots of vehicles besides what you call the Bible. Besides that, where did the Bible come from? The Catholic Church. Do you think they gave you all the scriptures that are out there? Come on. Did they? The same Catholic Church that burnt people at the stake because they went against the teachings of the church or against the edicts of the Pope? Okay? The Catholic Church that sent white man against white man because there was Protestants versus Catholics? Okay? You think they were honest in telling you what's available to be put in that thing you call Biblos or Bible? You think our Father could only speak to us through those scriptures and nothing else? We don't have a Holy Spirit communicating with us? I got to tell you, when I prayed in the last 5 days that I wanted, and I was a little bit like Gideon and some of the other figures in the Bible. I said, I want a fleece. I'm going to put a fleece out here, Father, because I'm starting to get somewhat frustrated with this whole trying to teach everybody what you want. And I need some verification that what I'm teaching is right in a couple of these very, very different and important areas, such as the patriarchal family, circumcision, etc., etc. And the Father answered that prayer, but I didn't find it in the Bible. I found it in the testimony of people that I talked to. I found it in the writings of other very spiritual people, and the Holy Spirit witnessed to me. So I had all of those, and they all came back with the same answer. So I say hallelujah. Now, you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to think that every answer to every problem is only found in your version of Bible and there's no other way to get your information, well, you can live that way. I'm not going to break fellowship with you because of that. But I'm just telling you that our Father is not limited to just that. Because some of these translations were put together by men with ulterior motives. Just as we know about the Scofield and the Scofield Bible. There was an agenda there. But I've had Baptists shake their Scofield at me and tell me, this here is the inerrant word of God, man. This Bible, you can take this here to the bank, Dan. Oh, really? No, thank you. No, thank you. So be careful if you take on the attitude that you know it all or you got all the answers and you're going to break fellowship with other people amongst our ranks, especially at this point in time, over issues like that. So, like the Bible says, accept all things and keep that which is good. That which bears out to empirical evidence, logic, and your own prayer time. Trust, but verify. Remember that? Trust, but verify. Main thing is don't fall into fear, folks. False evidence appearing real. Fear. False evidence appearing real. The enemy wants us to be fearful because fearful people make mistakes and fearful people can be easily led. Do not have a spirit of fear. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the wondrous things that are happening, both on the good side and the bad side, because you are in control. Even the wicked do what they do only at your allowance, in order that your perfect will might be done upon this earth, to shake our people to the core and get them to wake up and be the men and women that you intended them to be in authority and to take rule on this earth so that law, truth, and justice is once again brought upon the earth, and that we can clean this mess up and return life to what it was meant to be all along instead of this industrial servitude to a small group of people who look at themselves as if they're gods. When they are pseudo-gods, they are liars and deceivers and murderers. Raise up your army of righteous men, Father Yahweh, that we may put an end to this nonsense. And we pray for your return to sit upon the throne and rule over us as our king, as it should be now in our hearts, and then it will be in reality. Forgive us our sins, guide us in all that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.